Father, thank you so much for all that you've given to us. May we truly remember where you've taken us from, what you're doing in our lives. May we seek you this morning. Lord, more than anything, my prayer is that thy will would be done in each and every one of our lives. Have your way now, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So I don't know how many of y'all remember last week's message, but I was talking about blind spots, and I was talking about Samson, and when he got up to go out as before, and the Spirit of God had left him, and he didn't even know it, and I was asking y'all to maybe check the blind spots in your life, places in your life that you may not realize are there, where the enemy is taken up in your life. But in all those stories, if you guys remember last week, I said that there was redemption. There was redemption in David and there was redemption with Samson. There was redemption with Saul becoming Paul. And remember, though, I talked about the rich young ruler, and I said we don't really know the end of that story, what happened. If he ended up repenting and turning his life over to the Lord, or if he held on to his earthly possessions. And so today what I want to talk to you about is kind of a safety equipment. What kind of safety equipment do we have in our lives? What are we? Is there a open up your Bibles to Psalms 103, and what I was thinking about is last week after that message, and I got home, and I'm asking the Lord to examine my life and see if there's anything in me that shouldn't be there, if there's a blind spot in my life, and I realized, though, how if we're not careful, how quickly we can fall under condemnation, okay, and how quickly where we were last week, where I'm asking you to look at your life and see if Satan's creeped in someplace, and how quickly that can turn into condemnation of past sins that you've repented of, past sins that you've asking God to forgive you of, and all at once Satan is bringing that stuff back up to you, and then you're going, am I really saved? Have I done something that I shouldn't have done? And we begin to question ourselves. And so Psalms 103 says, verse 1, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. It doesn't say who forgives some of your sins, right? It doesn't say forgives most of your sins. It says who forgives all your sins. Verse 4, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. And when I think about this, and I think about who redeems us, he restores us. But what does Satan wants to do? He wants to destroy us. He wants to kill us. But the Lord Jesus, he redeems us and crowns us with love and compassion. That could be a blind spot. I know not everybody was here last week, but that could be a blind spot. How is your love and compassion? You know, when you become a child of God, hopefully your love and compassion for others has increased, where maybe you didn't even have any before. Now you have that. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. And that's where I really wanted to get at this morning, is the slow to anger and abounding in love. What I don't want is for us to be a congregation walking around defeated and broken and, oh, I'm just a terrible person because all the things that I've done, because God can forgive you. God will forgive you if we confess and we repent and we turn from that. But what does the enemy like to do? He likes to bring it up. He likes to remind us of all the wrong that we've done. Verse 9 says, He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. Right there makes me want to shout hallelujah. That's where we need to shout hallelujah. He doesn't treat us what we deserve. And I'm so thankful for that, because if y'all knew me, I don't deserve to be standing up here preaching. I don't deserve the forgiveness that God has given to me, all the evil and wrong that I've done. He's slow to anger and abounding in love. He does not treat us as our sin deserves, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. Okay? Y'all see that though? So great is His love for those who fear Him. You know, there's something to repentance, right? There's something to asking God to forgive you. There's something to the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, of understanding. Father, I need You. Because without Your grace, without Your mercy, without Your compassion, I'm headed for hell. There's a fear there. And so this is available for those who fear Him. Not in their boldness and arrogance and self-righteousness, stand up and defy Him, but those who fear Him. As far as the east, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. When I read this, y'all, I think about it, and as a father has compassion on his children, and you know, we've talked about this before, I've said this before, you know, when you spank and discipline your kids, you know, and you always heard, this hurts me more than it hurts you, and as a little kid you're thinking, how's that possible? You know, this hurts Dad, this hurts Mom, the wooden spoon hurts, you know, why are you, you know, but as a parent, and you see how much you love your children, and you see the need for discipline in your life, but you hate to do it, right? But you see the need for it. And the need for discipline is what? The need for discipline is so your kids won't do what's going to harm them, so your kids won't do what's going to hurt them, so they won't run into the highway, so they won't eat, you know, paint chips or whatever. There's need for discipline to keep your kids safe. And so when I read this and I think, you know, God's compassion for me is that He wants me to be doing the things that are good for me, not that He wants to harm me or hurt me and bring judgment on me just to say, because you're disobedient. No, He wants to set me straight. He wants me on the right path, just as we do with our children. What a loving Father we have. It is repeated several times throughout God's Word that He is slow to anger and abounding in love. And of course, the key in all this is, are we turning from evil and repenting for those who fear Him? And I hope with the message last week, it led to really us examining ourselves and allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal the areas in our lives that we need to turn from. And I hope that nobody left last week feeling condemnation, but a true self-examination of, God, is there areas in my life that shouldn't be there? Is there blind spots? Am I like Samson, where I think I can go out as before and not even realize, God, that You've left me because of my disobedience? And so Revelation 12:10 says, "Then I heard, come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down." The reason why I read that verse is because, did y'all hear that? The accuser who accuses our brethren day and night. Okay? And so where I want to get to this morning is that Satan is an accuser. And this morning you might be sitting there and y'all look beautiful, y'all look nice. But on the inside you might be feeling that condemnation of the accuser whispering, "You're really a child of God. You wouldn't have thought that. You wouldn't have said that. You wouldn't have done that. God can't forgive you. Remember what you did when you were 16? Remember what you did when you were 25? God can't forgive you of that." And the accuser's sitting there whispering to you this morning and bringing that condemnation upon you. And you're going, "Man, even Pete talked about being a blind spot in my life." No, last week the blind spot was to get us to see, so that we might repent, that we might ask God to forgive us, so that we might move on. And if there's a sin in your life that you have not repented of, then thank God that your eyes are being opened right now so you can repent, so you can ask God to forgive you. But if it's something that you've asked God to forgive you of, that you've repented from, that you've turned away from, then know that it's an accuser whispering and trying to accuse you and bring condemnation upon you. And where I'm going with this is this week I was driving, and I had hazardous material on my truck, and hazardous materials we have to stop at all the railroad crossings. And I was in Barling, and there's a railroad track in Barling that I've ever seen a train cross those railroad tracks ever. And but there was a railroad worker there, and he was just in like a pickup truck, and it was by the railroad crossing. And he was walking down the railroad tracks, and I could see him looking. I don't know what he was doing, but he had his orange vest on, and he had his hard hat on, and I'm not sure if he had his safety glasses on or not. I think he did, but I'm not positive. And I stop at the railroad crossing like I'm supposed to do, and I see this guy walking, and it looked like he was checking the tracks for something. And in my mind, I just thought, how ridiculous is that he has to wear a hard hat? And I'm just going, if I'm walking down railroad track, I don't think I have to worry about a limb hitting me in the head. You know, I think it's cleared enough. And I just began to think of, there's certain job sites and there's certain places that I go that I have to put on a hard hat. And, you know, in reality, how many of us, is that hard hat really going to protect you? Like that guy walking down the railroad tracks, do you think an orange vest and a hard hat's going to protect him if a train comes? No, it's not going to protect. That train's not going to go, "Oh, I see an orange vest," you know, and lock it up. No, the guy better get out of the way, right? But I was sitting there thinking about all the ridiculous safety things now that companies require and things. And people, everywhere you go now, they're wearing this bright orange shirts. And you know, when there's workplaces, when we go to Max Steel or Mike Works, you're supposed to have a vest, you're supposed to have a hat, you're supposed to have glasses. And I'm thinking, you know, if a beam is strong enough to crash through my semi, that hard hat's probably not going to really do me any good, is what I'm thinking. But mine might be wrong. There might be safety people in here. So anyway, I'm just sitting there thinking of how ridiculous it is, this guy walking down train tracks wearing a hard hat. But then I got to thinking about us in our spiritual life, and how sometimes we're in areas in our spiritual life that we think, "I don't really need safety equipment. I'm all good," right? We get going and life's good, and we think, "Do I really need, you know, my hard hat? I'm kind of like the person that I don't want to wear a hard hat. If I had a job that I had to wear a hard hat, I would probably be looking for a new job." I mean, but I was thinking about that in the spiritual realm, and I thought, you know, how many of us are going through our lives and our families are good, our job's good, and we just say, "I'm good. I don't need any safety equipment. You know, life is good. I don't really need that protection." And I began to think about how Satan will get us so comfortable, and then he'll creep in, and then he'll hit us, and then he'll cause us to stumble, and all at once we weren't properly equipped. My uncle works with that Samaritan's Purse, and he goes all over the country building and helping and stuff. And my mom told me last night that he was in South Carolina this last week, and he was up on a ladder, and a building truss came, and the building truss, he didn't see it coming, and someone was supposed to be watching, and this truss hit him in the head and knocked him off the roof. And he's 67 years old, and thank the Lord, he wasn't even seriously injured. He's had a headache that's not went away. They took him back to Michigan, where he's from. But there was a breakdown in the safety. There was a breakdown in what happened, because somebody was supposed to be watching that truss and telling the operator, you know, where it was going. But I guess it started spinning and hit him and knocked him. And so, y'all, that's what I think sometimes in our lives. Am I rambling up here? Is this making sense at all? Sometimes in our lives, we don't see the need for the safety equipment. But we just read in Revelation that the accuser is always standing accusing. And we know from the Word of God that he's like a roaring lion looking to whom he may devour. We know that Satan is trying to find any crack he can to get into our lives and destroy us. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll begin at verse 10. Ephesians 6:10, it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." So we know from the Word of God that the devil is scheming against us. So even when it seems like it's ridiculous to be fully equipped, we need to be fully equipped. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." And so, our children aren't in here this morning, so we can just kind of be honest, but there's a spiritual realm out there that's ready to destroy us. There's a spiritual... Have you guys ever just felt like an evil, a presence? I've been walking before, and one time this was probably a year ago, I was walking to my back door and something just stopped me. And I could just feel an evil. I don't know what it is. I mean, I'm not up here trying to scare y'all or anything, but the Word of God says that there is a battle that's very real for each and every one of our souls, for each and every one of our lives. And are we properly equipped? Because it's not and always what we see. Y'all, I've used this example before, and most of y'all probably don't even know, but there's a old movie that was called The Devil Advocate. Don't watch it. If you had never seen it, don't watch it, just because I'm talking about it. It's not a very good movie. But in this movie, it was Keanu Reeves was a lawyer or something, and he begins to look, and his eyes are open, and these women that are so beautiful on the outside, he sees through, and it's like demons underneath. You know what, they appeared to be so beautiful, they weren't. They were demonic. They were demons underneath. They were Satan's demons. And y'all, in our life, we think everything's good. We think everything's fine. And we've set down our hard hats and we've taken off our reflector vest and our safety glasses. And we're like, oh, life's so good. And the devil is scheming to destroy us. And we don't even realize it. Verse 13 says, "Therefore put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand." I see people failing day after day. Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, and they're failing. Why are they failing? Because they're not equipped. They're not properly equipped. They don't have on their safety harnesses. They don't have what they need. And Satan's coming to destroy them. And when you think about that, put on the full armor of God so that when evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand firm then. And I think of how many Christians are fading and falling away, and they're not standing firm to their convictions. They're compromising in what they're watching and what they're reading and what they're participating in, and we're compromising, and all the while Satan is laughing, going, I got him to compromise. I got him to fail. I got him to just compromise a little bit, because if he can get us to just compromise a little bit, then the next time it's a little more, and it's a little more, and it's a little more, and then all at once you don't even recognize the person that you are. Stand firm. It says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. I don't want to go into real deep detail on each and every one of these truths this morning. I've heard some fantastic messages on the armor of God, and I can't even come close to how awesome those messages were. But I will tell you, do you speak truth? You know one thing about it, if you're not lying, you don't have to remember what you said, right? If you're just telling the truth, you don't have to think back, now did I say this or did... Because the truth is the truth. Are you walking in truth? With the breastplate of righteousness in place. And when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about the breastplate that it covers your heart. Well, what? Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? So what's coming out? Do you have righteousness? Is your heart righteous? Are you covering yourself? And what goes into your heart? What goes in with righteousness? And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And you think about that everywhere you go, everywhere you walk. Do you bring the gospel with you? And is there peace following? I can't help it, y'all. There's certain people, and when they're off work, I'm happy. I just am, because they tear me up on the inside, because they just bother me so bad. Are you one of those people? Or when you come in the room, is there just a peace, a calmness? Blessed are the peacemakers. Are you a peacemaker? Verse 16, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. This is where I really wanted to, the whole reason why I wanted to read this morning, and this is what's going along with last week and the blind spots and the condemnation and the God is slow to anger and abounding in love, and what Satan's trying to whisper to us and what Satan's trying to cause us to do, and are we able to extinguish those flaming arrows that Satan is always throwing at us with the shield of faith? Knowing God's Word, knowing the truth that Satan, it doesn't matter what you're saying, I'm protected. Do you have that shield of faith? Do you believe that you know that you know that you know the Word of God and what it says about you and who you are? Satan's always shooting those arrows at us, trying to destroy us, trying to make us weak, trying to find a crack in the armor so that we can live under condemnation, so that we can say, I'm not good enough and I can't be forgiven and I'm of no use to the kingdom of God anymore. And that's what Satan's always doing. He's throwing those arrows at us. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of truth. And when I think about the helmet of salvation, I think about a mind that's delivered. I think about a mind that's renewed. I think about a mind that's saved. And the sword, the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know, sometimes we have to go on the offensive, and that's with the Word of God. That's when when Satan's coming at us, we use the Word of God to combat what he's saying, what he's trying to whisper in our ears. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Y'all, in our lives, we have an enemy that's trying to destroy us. And he's trying to make us feel comfortable, and he's trying to make us feel all safe so that he can come in when we're not fully equipped and hit us and destroy us and make us doubt and make us wonder and make us where we're not useful for the kingdom of God anymore. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5 says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." You ever seen a drug addict get delivered? You ever see a lost sinner, their lives transformed? Y'all, there's strongholds in people's lives. There may have been a stronghold in your life. There might be a stronghold this morning in some of your lives. We can wage war against that. Verse 5 says, "We demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God." It's by knowing the Word of God. It's by having God's Word in our heart, in our mind. It's a weapon. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. Taking captive every thought and making it obedient to Christ. Y'all, in our minds, that's where the battle is. The accuser, Satan, reminding you, trying to destroy you, bringing up the past, bringing up things, tempting you. He knows your weakness. How does Satan know your weakness? He sees where your eyes go. He sees what you're looking at on the computer. He sees what you're watching on the television. And what we need to do is begin to work on what's in our mind. How do you take those thoughts captive? With the knowledge of the truth. When you have those thoughts come in your head that shouldn't be there, do you open up the Word of God and say, "This is what God's Word says"? Do we realize that the Word of God is more truth than what we're even seeing here this morning? The reality that's right here in front of us, that the Word of God is even more truth than that? Because we don't see all the spiritual things going on. We don't see everything that's taking place. But the Word of God is truth. And it's even more true than our feelings. It's even more true than what Satan's whispering to us. It's what this Word of God says about us and who we are. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, "In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." You're going to be persecuted if you're trying to live for Christ Jesus. "While evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those whom you learned it. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." So you see what that's saying? Continue in what you've learned, the truth. Not in what we see, not in what we feel, but in the Word of truth. Are we convinced? Verse 16, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." See, I don't have on my safety hat. I don't have on my safety vest and my safety goggles in life if I'm not reading the Word, if I'm not actively seeking the Lord, and if I'm not applying this Word to my life. And there's a crack in my armor that Satan can get in. But if we're taking this Word and we're reading it and we're applying it and we're believing it, not condemnation, not what Satan's saying about us, but what this Word is saying about us, and if our lives are matching up to this. We need to put our safety equipment on this morning. Guarding our hearts, guarding our mind from what the enemy is trying to do, and live by faith. And believe what this Word says. "All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in all righteousness." Sometimes, I gotta admit, I'm just a wimp. And sometimes, I will believe a lie from Satan more than I believe the Word of truth. that's not how it should be. So I don't know where your heart's at this morning. I don't know if you're on fire for God or if you're just here because you're supposed to be here. I don't know if you've been believing lies from Satan or if you're grabbing hold of this word of truth. But church, can I tell you something? No matter what you're facing, the answer is right here. No matter. The answer is right there. Sometimes we got to seek it. Sometimes we got to look for it. But what do? We'd rather watch Oprah. We'd rather watch Dr. Phil. We'd rather read these self-help books instead of seeking out what the Lord says and then grabbing hold of it and living it. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your Word this morning. And Lord, my prayer is that if anybody in here is living under condemnation, if anybody in here, Lord, has had a crack in their armor, Lord, that they're not been fully equipped, Lord, this morning that they would begin to walk and seek You, that they would pray right now that if there's any sin, if there's any unconfessed sin, anything that we've not repented of, that right now we would begin to cry out to You and repent and turn from that. And then, Father, we'd grab hold of Your Word and we'd believe it with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, that we would believe what this Word says about us and who we are to be and what we are becoming. Father, may Satan not win any more battles, but may we truly take every thought captive and make it obedient to Your Word. Lord, I know there's struggles this morning. May we just get real before You this morning and confess where we're struggling, where we're weak. May You meet us right here. May You truly have Your way. May Your will be done in each and every one of our lives. We may be thoroughly equipped for every good work that You set before us. May we have strong minds and wear the full armor of God. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. If you need prayer this morning for anything, the altars are open. If you've been struggling and you just need to maybe spend some time alone with the Lord, grab hold of the truth of the Word of God. However the Lord leads now. People follow the lies of Satan. I'm not immune from it. In my life, there's times that Satan whispers such things to me and I fall for it and I fail and I think how could God love me? But I have to hold on to what the Word says. He's slow to anger and abounding in love. But I want y'all to remember what it said to those who fear Him. And if you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, and you've turned your life over to Him, and you've repented, and you're seeking Him, grab hold of the Word. And don't believe the accuser. Don't believe the lies of Satan. But grab hold of the Word and grab hold of Jesus with everything that you have, no matter how you feel. No matter how you feel, grab hold of the Word of the truth. I hope hope and I pray that I see all of you in heaven. We understand the only way that we're getting there is by the blood of Jesus. And I hope and pray that you've all given your life to Jesus and that you're seeking Him with everything that you have, and then have confidence. Confidence in the Lord. Confidence in how He's changing and transforming your life. Sometimes I look at my life and I think, man, I should be a lot further along than I am. But I'm not where I was. And I hope I'm moving forward and drawing closer. I can hear the kids screaming, I better dismiss. We're going to start in 2 Timothy chapter 1 tonight. We finished up 1 Timothy last Sunday night. Bible study 6:30. Y'all have a blessed afternoon.